Masechet Beitza, Perek He, Mishnah Bet. This Mishnah will list three categories of activities that are prohibited midderabanan on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. Mishnah says, Kol shehayavin alav mishum shevut, anything, any type of activity that a person has to refrain from on a rabbinic level, the rabbi said he can't do it, or, number two, mishum reshut, or there's some sort of optional mitzvah that is also prohibited as well, mishum mitzvah, or there's an absolute mitzvah, something that usually is a mitzvah, but nonetheless the rabbi is prohibited, they can't do it on Yom Tov. B'Shabbat, hayavin alav Yom Tov. A person's obligated to refrain from these things on Shabbat. He's also obligated to refrain from them on Yom Tov as well. When the rabbis prohibited all of these actions, they prohibited it not only on Shabbat, but Yom Tov as well. Now we'll go category by category. Number one, ve'elu hen mishum shevut. These are the activities that are prohibited on a rabbinic level. Lo alin ba'ilan, not allowed to climb a tree because you may break off a branch. Not allowed to ride on an animal because you may also break off a branch to use it as a whip. Not allowed to swim on water because you may build a raft. Not allowed to clap hands, slap thighs, or dance. All of these actions usually have music with them, and we're nervous that a person may, you may end up fixing a musical object. And that is Gezrav Hachamim. So all of these activities are prohibited. Now, category number two. Ve'eluhen mishum neshut. These are types of mitzvot that apply at certain times, but nonetheless, Hachamim prohibited them on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Lo dani, not allowed to judge a court case. Ve'lo mekadeshi, not allowed to perform a kiddushin, marry a woman. Ve'lo holtzin, can't do halitza. Halitza is if a man has a brother who passed away, and that brother was married to a woman and they never had children. That man is then obligated to do yibum, which is the next term, with that woman and have children with her. If he doesn't want to, they do halitza, and he is not obligated anymore. That involves spitting in the shoe, etc. So halitza cannot be done on Shabbat Yom Tov, and yibum, the actual consummation of that marriage, where he's now acquiring her, his sister-in-law, of his brother who passed away, the wife of his brother who passed away, he cannot acquire her on Yom Tov or Shabbat. All of these actions, even though they are mitzvot, are prohibited on Shabbat and Yom Tov because they may involve a person writing up a record, writing up a ketubah, a marriage document. So therefore, Hachamim prohibited all of these actions on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Number three, ve'eluhen mishum mitzvah. These actions are absolute mitzvot. But Hachamim said you cannot do them on Shabbat v'Yom Tov. Lo makdishin, v'lo ma'arichin, v'lo maharimin. A person is not allowed to make something hekdesh, say that something is sacred to the Beit HaMikdash. He's also not allowed to do do an erech vow. An erech vow is a person makes a certain promise to pay a certain person's value to the Beit HaMikdash. He sees somebody and he says, whatever that person's worth, I'm going to dedicate that amount to the Beit HaMikdash. That's also not allowed to be done on Shabbat Yom Tov. And also a chirim. A chirim is another type of dedication to the Beit HaMikdash. All of these actions are transferring something over in terms of ownership to the Beit HaMikdash. And they are similar to a business transaction. A business transaction is prohibited on Shabbat Yom Tov. Now, the main reason is because we're nervous that it may lead to a person writing. So these fall under that category. V'lo magbihin teruma ma'aser, not allowed to separate teruma and ma'aser from food as well, because they fix something, they make the food edible to be eaten. It's like a person is fixing a utensil. So even though these actions are mitzvot, they're not allowed to be done on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Mishnah says, Kol elu b'yom tov amru kal v'homer b'shabbat. All of these actions that we stated in connection with Yom Tov, that they're prohibited, obviously apply to Shabbat as well, where we are stronger with the laws, and we are more strict. And ben Yom Tov leShabbat ela ochel nefesh bilvad. Basically, what the Mishnah is saying is there's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. If something is prohibited on Shabbat, it's prohibited on Yom Tov as well, except for ochel nefesh bilvad, for food preparation. A melacha, which helps in the preparation of food, is allowed on Yom Tov, but it is not allowed on Shabbat. But again, only those types of food preparations that are close to the finish line, we call it melishava elach, only from kneading the dough and on, not the earlier things of picking a fruit off a tree or all those earlier melachot, those would be prohibited as well. But en ben Shabbat Yom Tov ela ochel nefesh bilvad. Masechet Betzah Perek He Mishnah Gimel. These next few Mishnayot will talk about the laws of Tehum Shabbat. Tehum Shabbat is the boundary that a person is allowed to walk on Shabbat. It has nothing to do with the laws of carrying something on Shabbat. It has to do simply with the distance a person is allowed to walk. It's a 2,000 amot barrier from his place of residence that he cannot walk past. A person's residence is defined by one of three things. If he's in a town, that whole town is his residence. And the border of that town is where the 2,000 amot start in every direction. He has a radius of 2,000 amot fully around him that he could walk in any direction whatsoever. 2,000 amot in each direction. That's what he has if he's in a town from the border of the town. If he's in a building, not within a town, then the 2,000 amot start from the walls of that building, from the outside of that building. If he's in an open area, for example, an open field, and he's starting his Shabbat at that place, then his residence is 4 amot radius. The 2,000 amot start from a 4 amot radius around him. That's where the tehum is measured from. So he can walk up to 2,000 amot in any direction from there, and the tehum is where a person is going to spend his Shabbat. If a person needs to walk more than 2,000 amot in a certain direction, he can designate a certain place before Shabbat starts and call it his Eruv Tehumin. Let's say he needs to walk 4,000 amot to the north, and he knows he can't get there. His boundary is 2,000 amot. What he could do is, before Shabbat starts, he puts an Eruv Tehumin, which is defined as enough meal to last him the Shabbat. He puts it 2,000 amot to the north, and he establishes his place of residence at that spot, and now he can actually get to that other 2,000 amot northbound, because he needs to walk 4,000 from his real home. So again, he puts his place of residence 2,000 amot northwards, and then he has another 2,000 amot that he could walk to get there, but automatically that becomes his new place of residence. So if he happens to be in his home, he can't walk at all southbound, because his place of residence is 2,000 amot all the way up. So therefore, he's at the 2,000 amot limit when it comes to the south. So if you're gaining area in one spot, you are losing in another area. All of these laws were explained in the Masechet of Eruvin that we learned together. This Mishnah is going to talk about how the laws of Tehum apply not only to people, but they apply to their possessions as well. Mishnah says, Habehema vehakelim keragleha ba'alim. Animals and utensils, kelim, have the same Tehum as their owner. A person's property is also not allowed to pass the tehum of its owner. Just like a person not allowed to walk more than 2,000 amot from his place of residence, his items, his possessions as well, are not allowed to go past that tehum. Even if taken by somebody else, they can't go beyond 2,000 amot of the person who owns it. Now the Mishnah will give us a law based on this rule. If somebody's handing over the animals to his son on Yom Tov, or to a shepherd on Yom Tov, these animals still have the same tehum as the owner, not the tehum of the person who's now taking control of them. The tehum of the person was established when Yom Tov started, of this animal, and it's based on that person. So whatever tehum that person established when the Yom Tov started, the animal has as well. They were in the owner's possession at that time. Therefore, the halakha is the tehum applies even after they're given over to someone else on Yom Tov. And this assumes that the animal was given over during the Yom Tov. If obviously the animal was given over to the shepherd before the Yom Tov started, then it's in his possession and it goes by his tehum, by his Shabbat boundary. The Gemara comments over here and says that our case is talking about only in a situation where there are a few ro'im, a few different shepherds in town. And it's not clear, with definite certainty, that it's going to go to a certain shepherd. But if it was clear that the owner was going to hand over the next morning the animals to a certain shepherd, then they could actually take on the tehum of the shepherd, because it's known that they're going to him, even from before Yom Tov. So even if they were not given to him before the Yom Tov started, they could still take on his tehum. The Mishnah presents another case which is talking about items that were jointly owned by many people. Specifically, the case is a situation where brothers together inherited things from their father, and those items have not been distributed to each individual brother. Rather, they're jointly owned by all of the brothers, and they are left in a common house together, so everyone has an equal share in all of them. What happens in the situation when the brothers all do not have the same tehum? Everyone lives in different places, and therefore, how does it work in taking those items? If they're jointly owned by people, can one brother take them past the tehum of another brother? Mishnah says, Kelim hamiyuhadim le'ehad min ha'ahim shebabayit. If you have utensils that are jointly owned by all of the brothers, but it's miyuhad, the utensil we're talking about is designated for use of one of the brothers. Hare elu kiraglav, the utensils then take on his tehum, even though the brothers have a share in the ownership of these kelim. Doesn't matter, since they're usually used by and they're designated for one of the brothers, even though he didn't fully take possession of it, they go like his steps and they're bound by his tehum. V'she'en miyuhadin, if they're not designated to one of the brothers, hare elu kemakom sheholchim. They go by the place where all of the brothers could go. In other words, they only go by the overlap space between all of the brothers. If the brothers happen to share a tehum in some way, let's say there's 1,000 amot that they overlap because they live in different places, then they could only be carried and taken within the tehum that all of them share. But if one of them is not within the tehum, then they cannot go beyond the boundary that one of the brothers doesn't fit to. So in other words, they all have to be able, the zone that they're allowed to carry, it has to fit the criteria of all of the brothers jointly.